Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies.
The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states.
Did you know not all batteries are the same? For example, only Duracell batteries are built different with Power Boost ingredients. And Duracell are the only batteries that make this sound every time you say Power Boost ingredients. See? Duracell batteries with Power Boost ingredients. You try.
Duracell batteries and Power Boost ingredients.
Told ya. Duracell batteries are built different with Power Boost ingredients. And they're built right here in the USA with US and global parts.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends. And now it's time for our fellow Legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in Blanket Fortiana as we dig through your intriguing messages to the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, Pop's Cat.
Well, tonight we are headed about as far from the Dead Letter Office as we can get, to the bottom of the world, the southern tip of New Zealand's North Island, and the capital city there of Wellington.
Oh, I thought you had a story from Antarctica.
Yes, not yet. I'm still waiting to hear from McMurdo.
Hopefully there's a lot of interesting, UAP news coming from the very bottom of the world. But we're talking about a very lovely and charming and mystical place of New Zealand. And this story is pretty interesting, Scott, because apparently Wellington is regularly cited as the world's windiest city by average wind speed, and they call it affectionately Windy Welly. So the
there we go.
Or as they said on the Simpsons about New York, the Windy Apple, which was a misnomer, combining that in the Windy City of Chicago.
Yes, indeed.
But that reason they call it Windy Welly is because the Cook Strait funnels gale force winds straight through it. And those gale force gusts happen roughly half of the days of the year.
So the Cook Strait, that's obviously named for Captain Cook, I'm guessing. I'm effectively guessing.
Maybe. You are correct, sir. I would, yes. I would hope so. Well, in this case, though, talking about Cook Strait, the very earliest attribution for its discovery goes to kind of a mythological figure named Kupe, who was a Maori navigator. And in Maori culture, he's also attributed as the discoverer of New Zealand in whole. But we're talking about the Cook Strait here. So
yes,
James Cook, Captain Cook, sailed through it later on as well in 1770. But at this time, he was still a lieutenant. So he's not Captain Cook yet.
He wasn't just born Captain Cook. He was just...
But that would be a great... I dare you to have another child and name him Captain Cook or
just Captain Philbrook.
Yes, like my good friend Arnie wanted to give one of his male children the middle name of Danger.
Oh,
just
nice.
So he could say when he's on a date, my middle name is Danger. And I think his wife said no.
Anyway.
Yeah, getting back to it, at this time, because of that, it's since been known as the Cook Strait. And we're talking about the gap between New Zealand's two islands, the North Island, where tonight's dead letter from our listener Billy was living at the time, and then the South Island. And only about 14 miles across at the skinniest part, it's mean water. treacherous waters here, mostly tidally. But just a quick thing on Captain Cook, as we're talking about him. He had a tragic and fateful and historic ending in Hawaii, which most people also That's know right. about. He died on February 14th, 1779, in a violent skirmish and confrontation with native Hawaiians at Kealakekua Bay. I love Hawaii.
Yes.
And I just have a hard time with the names, especially driving around in the... That's the old joke from the stand-up. It's like, I was driving down the street in Hawaii, and I think I was committing a traffic violation because I thought it was One Oe, and it was one way. But getting back to it, yeah, the Tasman Sea is on one side, and then the Pacific is on the other, and then trying to squeeze through that gap at the same time is a bit precarious. Because the tides and then the wind just slam into each other nonstop 24/7. And that's the whole reason Wellington gets hammered. The straits act as like a funnel and then fires everything right up into the city, especially the wind.
Yes. Wellington has been the capital since 1865. But tonight's dead letter isn't in the city itself. It actually takes place just northeast of the harbor in a long, flat stretch called the Hutt Valley, which is anchored by the Te Awa Karangi or Hutt River. Forgive me if I mispronounced the Maori version of that, but I tried my best. Apparently, the first settlers tried to build a town in this area right at the river's mouth back in 1840, but flooding ran them off. They had a fair amount of catastrophes. So they went across the water there to what became Wellington. But flood management is still a prominent part of life there, but it's developed now into its own quieter place, you know, train lines and suburbs and, you know, a bedroom community for Wellington.
Yeah, burbs,
at least that's how I perceive it. Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever seen the really terrific series Wellington Paranormal?
I have. Yes. I've seen a few episodes. Yes.
Right. We've talked about it a bit.
Yes.
I love that show. It's a lot of fun. And and folks, people know well. Mm-hmm. The creators are Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Yes.
And stars Mike Minogue and Karen O'Leary and Ma'aka Pohatu. Anyway, a lot of fun and covers a wide range of paranormal stuff. And I just wonder if it's like Melbourne.
Yes.
And just like it's a city, Wellington, teeming with strange and wondrous things.
Indeed.
But certainly in this case, a little bit of that, yes.
Yes.
So a lot of the times a dead letter comes in about, you know, something spooky or strange location. But in tonight's story, the home itself is just a bystander in the story, it seems, or the container, the location of something strange yet mystical.
Yeah, quiet house, quiet street, but still something weird is going on here.
Well, that's usually the thing, isn't it? That's the trickster element. You go to a famously haunted location like a house or even Waverly and nothing happens.
Right.
And then something could happen right inside your house.
That's exactly right.
You could, you know, the paranormal could happen right in rooms you think you know completely. You cross them without thinking 1,000 times. You could cross them with your eyes shut in the dark, blindfolded. And then there's the trap, right? It's something that seems off in a room you've slept in 1,000 times, and it can get your attention. But as we always say, as it's always said, pay attention to what's different, and you'll see some amazing things sometimes.
That's right. Billy, tonight's author of this letter, not somebody who went looking for this. If anything, he's the last man in the house who'd want it to be real.
All righty then. Well, Scott, take us down, please, to the Hutt Valley.
Firstly, I've been listening to your show for around 8 years now. I started about the time I went full-time as an artist, and you guys have been great companions for the lonely world that is my studio. I feel like you're the closest thing I have to workmates. Happy for you guys to come to the Christmas party, although I do live in New Zealand. I have a story you might like, though. At the time of this story, I was living in the Hutt Valley of New Zealand's capital, Wellington. I was living with my wife at the time, now my ex, and my young son. I will refer to my ex as Sally. I'm probably what you would refer to as a cautious skeptic. I certainly am willing to believe, however, I am a little superstitious and limit my involvement in matters that interact with the other side. Sally, my ex, however, was right into it. She was involved in a spiritual church that taught you how to hone your psychic skills and connect to those past. She claimed to have some ability, but as you probably would have guessed, I was skeptical. I do believe that some psychics have amazing abilities. I'm just not sure where their messages are coming from. Because of that, I was often reluctant to encourage Sally on her spiritual journey. So my paranormal experiences have been minimal. I've had a couple, but they were easily explained away. Except for one. One night, we were all asleep in bed when I was awoken by something moving on the bed. I assumed it was our cat, and I sat up to shoo him off the bed. In the dark, however, I couldn't make him out, and I lay back down. Almost immediately, I felt him walking up the bed on my side. I sat up again, only to find nothing there. I once again assumed the dark had hidden his misadventures, so again, I lay back down. Again, I felt the movement, almost unmistakably a cat walking up the bed, but this time I got up out of bed. I felt around, and at this time had a reasonable view in the dark and could find nothing. I decided to find our cat, and I did, neatly curled up on my son's bed, well away from our bedroom. Now I was starting to freak out a bit. There was no way this was Sally moving. I was wide awake and even looking towards the end of the bed when I could feel the cat moving but could see nothing. I returned to bed and thankfully the movement stopped. I struggled to work out what it could have been, and because of my reservations about my wife's interest in the paranormal, I decided not to mention it to her in fear of encouraging her further. Not long after, Sally went for a psychic reading, which she did several times a year, and returned home and, as she always did, told me about the reading and her experience. She explained that the psychic had asked her an odd thing. "Well, what's that?" I asked. "Well, my pop came through." That was her grandfather, who had passed several years earlier. Sally continued. Then she asked me if he had a cat. "Yes," I told her. "He had a couple. Why do you ask?" The psychic replied, "Because it's been tormenting your husband." I was stunned. I came clean with Sally and told her the story. I often thought that psychics could read energy from their clients, and the information they were receiving was from them, not necessarily from beyond. But Sally had no knowledge of my experience. It certainly made me think about my theories and question myself, where are those messages coming from? Thanks again, guys. Love listening to the show. Don't forget about the Christmas party.
The paranormal surrounds us, and we'll dive back in shortly.
Nowadays, I think you and I, Scott, are pretty cynical, especially when it comes to products and services. You know, because there always seems to be a catch. Like, okay, you can get this service, but you first need to follow a simple 23-step process, update 9 apps and passwords, sign up for this plan or that club, and the recurring automatic monthly charges, and then there's a learning curve, yada, 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 whatever.
Oh, man, I know. I'm sure when people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 a month, they gotta be wondering, what's the catch? Well, we can honestly say from personal experience, there isn't one. There's no gimmicks or gotchas, just unlimited talk, text, and data, fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team.
Yeah, it's so simple, direct, straightforward, and affordable. It's no wonder most folks think there's got to be a catch, but there really isn't one. I guess that's what makes Mint Mobile a catch. You know, since we both switched to Mint years ago, all we've experienced is fast, reliable, and crystal clear mobile service that saved us a ton of dough over the years, and that's it.
Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right with premium wireless for $15 a month. You can even bring your current phone and your number.
Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill and those nasty surprises on your bill.
Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/DLO. That's mintmobile.com/DLO.
Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/DLO. That's it. There's no catch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
Let's continue our investigation into tonight's dead letter.
Well, I have several things I love about this story. First and foremost, I'm sure like a lot of our pet lovers out there, as you wonder, when I pass, do our pets get to go with us? And
yeah,
I think
yeah.
A lot of psychic mediums will say that there's some debate as to whether they have a soul like us. They certainly have a presence and a living energy presence and field about them, which may transcend realms
right.
and planes and states of existence. And if we're so connected to them, as we are to each other often, why not come with us? I love that idea. Of course, I love pets. You wish your favorite ones, or all of them, could be with you on the other side, along with all of your friends and loved ones. So that's right. A very heartwarming thing. And it makes me think of the Twilight Zone that I really liked about the guy. I think he was coon hunting with his beloved hound dog. The dog goes in the water. He goes after it. And they come up in a seemingly bucolic and lovely area. And he kind of figures out, I think we're dead. And he goes up to one gate and he asks them, am I in heaven? Is this the pearly gates? It's like, well, it's a form of it, but you can come on through, except you can't bring your dog.
Right.
And
right.
the guy says, well, I ain't coming in if I can't bring my dog. You know, he's my best friend. And the guy goes, yeah, there's a wondrous world here. It's all heavenly. We just don't allow pets. And the guy says, well, enough with that. And he wanders on down the road. And I love that idea. It's like, why? I'm not interested if I can't bring my dog.
Yeah.
And then he goes to another place and they said, well, of course you can bring your dog. And that was the real heaven. The first one was he knew something was wrong because what place wouldn't allow you to bring the things you love? So in this case, too, the presence of this pet is with the owner, but for some reason makes more of an entrance, I guess, or makes its presence known more so than the actual father-in-law.
Right.
So what are your thoughts, Scott, about, is there a message here? Is it just saying hello? What's happening? Is a cat just doing crazy, funny cat things that it usually does, like stepping on your computer and accidentally ordering 50 hot dogs?
You know, we often talk about Rupert Sheldrake's research on the show. And one of the things apparently that Sheldrake gathered up was a lot of stories about this, the returning pet. And I've heard these stories too. But again, it's usually the pet that's connected to the living person or, you know, somebody more recently deceased and direct, I guess. Right. But it's an interesting idea, this concept of, because this goes beyond the whole like crisis apparition or whatever else, because there's also, there's the physical component of this, feeling it on the bed. And so what is that about?
Yeah, from the story, I don't think I heard this in your narration, but did he see actual depressions in the blanket or the bed covers? I don't think so, but I have heard of that before, where people actually see, you know, when they feel a presence sitting down, they saw the bed depress where the living person's weight would have been, but there's nothing there. I don't think he saw the paw prints, right?
He doesn't say in his story that he saw them.
That's
right. He could definitely feel them. Right. Yeah. So which begs a question. It's like, well, is this a tactile sensation being impressed upon you rather than actually occurring in the 3D space that you're occupying?
Yeah, a very real sensation, but not actually affecting, in every sense, the space-time that we occupy, right? The physical world, its presence isn't actually doing that. Now, I do wonder about the mechanism of when people hear knocks from spirits. Is something actually knocking against the wood or whatever wall or whatever thing? Is that actually happening? Or is that the sound being created in your head? And it's not just one person, because like a group of people often have heard or reported have hearing knocking. It's not just the one person and they've got something wrong with their brain.
Right.
It's a group of people can hear that. So I do wonder what that mechanism is to affect the sound. Here, he's feeling the presence. So yeah, that's a great question. Is he getting that sense that's being interpreted by his brain, or is there somebody else in bed would feel as well? You know what I'm saying? Is that being transmitted to everybody there, or is it just a feeling directed towards him that only he can sense?
So that's
pretty interesting. And the whole dynamic is interesting. Unfortunately, I guess they're no longer together, but I love the dynamic of the wife being more open to this. And maybe that's facilitating some communication, some ITC in a way of the presence being sensed. But he's the more skeptical target of it and trying to be more neutral and objective and not trying to encourage this kind of thing. And I would say that that's also for couples, that's a very important thing. I always look at it this way, is that you don't have to be into it, but you should be open to it. Because if you have a set of beliefs and the other partner is, you know, just thinks you're a little wacko and you're like, that's right. not going to go over as well as like, well, I'm not sure I believe that, but I think my partner is sincere and I'm open to it. I just need some experience myself. And that's what happens here is that, well, now you've been confronted with an experience that you can't deny. You're pretty sure that happened, but it may challenge a lot of your beliefs. And I think that's the most you can ask for.
Yeah, that's true. So here's something else that's interesting about this because of the Maori history in the region. There are the Kaitiaki, which mm-hmm. is a guardian spirit, and it can come in the form of an animal, and it's considered to be an ancestral presence in the region. So right. that could be a bird or some kind of creature or something that will watch over or warn or accompany the living. So there might be an idea there that connects the deceased grandfather to this spirit of this cat watching over Billy or Billy's ex-wife, Sally, at the time. So, and I do wonder about that too, because we don't have any information on Billy's background or Sally's background and what connection, if any, they have to the Maori people of the region. But the question becomes, can those cultures in the paranormal realm impress upon each other? Do you get like common ground? These things are happening here, and this is something you and I have talked about right. and connected to different religions or cultures that have occupied the same land. Can these things overlap? Can you be the recipient of something that's culturally significant in a culture outside of your own in a paranormal way?
Well, I do think it doesn't matter what your culture believes in. That's always the case is that, especially when you stir things up and you go to disturb those long-held traditions, it doesn't matter what your culture is. You're going to experience them, but you might have a lens of interpretation right. from your own culture and experience and your own legends. And that might be filtered. You know what I'm saying? It's like the trickster thing. It's like, well, to me, that's not coyote. It's this other thing. It's right. a shadow person, this or that. And so that's your lens. It's like, well, I don't really believe in trickster spirit animals, but I do believe in ghosts and other things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, From your own perspective. Yeah. And so it doesn't mean that thing didn't happen. It's just that something interfered with our world in an unnatural or uncommon way. And that's your, how you interpret it to make sense. So that was pretty interesting. And one thing I'll say here is a side anecdote. I think I've mentioned this before, but talking about pets, first of all, I think you have in your notes section here, the hypnopompic experience of waking up or being in that kind of sleep state.
Yes.
One time, this is now a couple of years ago, where I was in that hypnopompic state, or at least I kind of half woke up, and I got the distinct impression there was a medium to large dog lying next to me in my bed. Here's what's different is that Billy is pretty awake at this point, I think, from what I gather from the story. He's not just kind of half waking up.
Yes, right.
Half asleep. He's much more conscious and aware than I was. I'm kind of like starting to wake up. It's like, oh, there's a dog here. And the only thing I think of at that moment is that, well, we had a family dog, Yukon, and he was a Siberian husky with blue eyes and reddish fur. And from from our family friend that we got him, he said he was at least part wolf. But the cool is such a cool dog, just totally untrainable, but such a great companion. And I missed him a lot. And so it's like, is that Yukon? Is that no? But he's been dead for a long time, and you're just kind of like working that out in your head. And I didn't open my eyes. You're kind of in that also that frozen state, but I was pretty sure there was a dog there. And I think I half asleep kind of reached out to pet it. I can't remember if I felt fur or anything. But then when I fully got out of that hypnopompic state, you open your eyes like, oh, there's no dog here. And that surprised me more than there actually being a dog of unknown origin in my bed, because I did not own a dog. Right. One did not sneak in the middle of the night through a doggy boy that didn't exist. But I got that very real impression that there was a dog there next to me. So anyway, that was weird. The second thing is this happened to a good friend of mine, a couple, and he was perhaps the one that uncorked the glass stopper in the bottle of Hibiki whiskey. So that's Paul.
After he had passed.
Because I was remiss. I did not offer him a shot. I didn't pour one out for the good friend. But we're all sitting around at the table at this other friend's house, and the top just kind of came out and fell on the table and then rolled off onto the floor. Yeah. Now, the story is I was sitting next to Paul's widow at this point, and right. we were talking about Paul and, you know, what fun we had working together and this and that. And that's when that happened. It's like, oh, he also wants a drink.
Right.
The idea was that we were talking about different things that were happening that evening and some other strange things. Lights were flickering just in the room we were at. And later, a psychic medium friend of ours, I just took a picture of the room where the flickering happened. And that's the same thing that ties into the story, that you have confirmation that's completely unconnected. So I didn't know what was going on that night because, again, it happened a few times during that night as we were leaving. The light near the door flickered. No other lights flickered in the house. But when Paul's wife was leaving and we were all leaving, it was kind of like a goodbye. Right. So I sent a photo that I took of us in the room to the psychic medium friend. She said, oh, yeah, there is a spirit there. He's having trouble talking. He wants to say something to all of you, and especially to the woman sitting there in the chair wearing the green shirt. But he can't express himself. He's having trouble in that way, but he's trying to affect the environment. And he wants to get a message desperately to the woman in the green shirt. And that's all she said. And I said nothing about it. I just said, do you see anything in this photo? When I sent the photo, a couple of them. The woman in the green shirt was Paul's wife. So that's a bit of a hit to me that there's a connection that's unrelated. She just happened to zero in on that. So it has some weight because also of all the other stuff that happened that evening without mentioning
it. Right, right.
Now, the other thing on a separate occasion, which came up in discussion that night, I believe, is that the wife, she was at the farmer's market in L.A., was just walking her other dog and, you know, the dog that they both loved. And this woman stopped. And I love how these psychic stories happen because the woman said, hey, I know this sounds really woo-woo and weird, but I have a message for you. And, you know, our friend said, okay, yeah. And she's a little more open to this, but I think pretty objective, like Billy here, our author. And she says, yeah, now I know this sounds strange, but is your dog kind of acting up, you know, does anything weird around the house? And she goes, well, yeah, there's, now that you mention it, there's this closet that, you know, when I open the door, he will just stare at it and bark into the closet. Like he's agitated or there's something there. He just seems kind of like weirded out by this one closet in their former bedroom, the master bedroom. And the woman says, okay, that makes sense. All right. Well, your dog here. And she says, I know how this sounds, but I'm a bit of a pet psychic. And she says, your dog here, and she was walking the dog. He says, there's something in that closet that's really upsetting him. And I think it's your, you know, did your husband pass? She says, yeah, fairly recently. He said, well, he's in the closet and you might want to tell him to stop trying to like pet the dog or hold the dog because he's freaking the dog out.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, oh, okay. That's pretty strange. That's a stranger coming up out of the blue saying like, yeah, I have a message for you and nailing a few things that were correct.
He
passed and he really wants to play with the dog, but like the dog kind of senses it's him, but doesn't know what exactly that is because he's not physical alive like he was. You know, there's an essence of him or something the dog can see, but he's kind of ghostly. But the dog is weirded out by it. So he said, just say into the closet, tell your husband, it's like, try not to be as forceful or interactive with the dog. That's it. That's the message. But like, same thing. You talked to it's like, really, that's the father-in-law and his cats coming to annoy me in the middle of the night, as cats often do. Anyway, so that reminded me, it's like, I don't know, like our listener here, Billy, I don't know what that is, but I do believe that there's something to it when a stranger relatively makes that kind of connection and hits a few things. There's reason to wonder about that.
Yeah, because that was a full leap because he hadn't told Sally. And so Sally went into that scenario not having any idea of it. Then hears back from the psychic, then comes back to Billy and says, the cat is bothering you, at which point he then makes that connection. And so that's where you can say, oh, well, this is hypnagogic, hypnopompic. New Zealand's an earthquake zone. Maybe he felt an earthquake in the middle of the night. There's all kinds of like theoretically mundane explanations here.
Yeah.
But none of them connect the 2 degrees of separation from the psychic information and Billy himself, which is, I think, what makes this very small story, but it makes this it's one of those stories. It's like, how do you crack that? How do you crack that part?
Yeah.
If you're the skeptic and the debunker and you crack all the other things, it's old hack syndrome, whatever, combined with earthquakes or settling houses, et cetera. And then it's like, well, yeah, but what about the whole thing about how it felt very much like a cat? And then this story comes out of the blue. Even if that wasn't connected, the coincidence there is paranormal in itself, that they're both having cat things happen in this way, you know?
Right. I got to say the earthquake and then the what else was there that's mundane? Earthquake.
Yeah.
Listen, you and I have been through many a earthquake in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And felt that experience. I've never once thought it was an animal.
Right.
It's a very distinct feeling. And I felt all types of earthquakes too. There are different, it's not just one type of shaking you feel and experience.
Yeah.
But the earthquakes, that sounds to me like a very much a Brian Dunning kind of a reasoning there.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, that's what you're feeling. It's like, no, I know the difference. And this is something very personal as well, because was Sally in the bed with him?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do wonder what the visitation was about. Or like I said, it's there's a whole fun series of AI generated night vision, Nest camera type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
The cat comes in the bedroom and starts playing the bagpipes.
Right. Yeah.
I know they're fake, but I love those. Anyway, just get is it just cats doing what they're doing? Is it trying to get the person's attention? Was it trying to get that husband's attention because the past father-in-law knew that he was a bit skeptic or not as accepting of his daughter's beliefs?
Yeah.
Is there something there where, it's just like, oh, well, I'll try and make this a little more real for you.
Yeah.
Because I wish you were more on the same page. That's it's all speculation on my part. But like, I like to think that there's a message or just a hello, kind of a friendly, like, we're still here.
Yeah.
And I love that about pets. I've heard so many past pet stories. We just talked about one that I can't even remember if this was on Jim's show or ours for a Halloween thing. We certainly had a few pet stories like that, which were kind of heartwarming, but
Jim, Forrest would be referring to Jim Harold.
Yes, Jim, of course. Yes. I just say Jim and I expect everyone to know who he is. the famed podfather. There was one thing the family did with their beloved big floofy dog where the mother would go pinchy, pinchy and kind of pinch his bottom.
Oh, right.
And then he would kind of dance around and do this happy dance in a circle. And after, at the mother's funeral, I believe, they felt a sense or presence of the mother being there. And then the dog does this happy dance.
Yeah, right.
As if the mother was
there
and pinched him on the bottom.
Aww,
and he did his pinchy, pinchy thing. Yeah, it's just, like I said, okay, so that might be just, like I said, you can explain that away because you don't see anything. But I'm going to go with the heartwarming story because why not? Let me have it. Stop ruining my fun is what I say.
Well, there's a moment in Billy's letter here that stands out, I think, and that's the part where he decided to just sit with what happened three times and say nothing. I think a lot of us walk around with a private idea of how this all might work. And he had the sense that maybe a psychic is just reading the living person sitting in the chair in the room with him, picking up what's already in their head. A lot of us think that. Even after all we've been through at Astonishing Legends, I still have that in the back of my mind myself when I am in the presence of someone giving a reading. But Billy's story defies that, and it's these kinds of stories that throw out what the overwhelming majority of skeptics lean on to debunk this type of event. It removes one of the legs of that tripod of disbelief, and it puts these events squarely in the category of the unexplained, at least for now. Billy, thank you very much for sending your letter into the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Forrest Burgess and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Carissia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bolton. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only, first name last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym. Let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of the show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies.
The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies.
The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states.
I love days like these at the pool, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. I'm ready to make a splash with clearer skin thanks to SKYRIZI, risankizumab Riza. SKYRIZI is a prescription-only injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. At 4 months, most people saw 90% clearer skin when measured from head to toe, and many were even 100% plaque-free. People also saw significant improvement in psoriasis symptoms of pain, redness, itching, and burning.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Now there's nothing on my skin, thanks to SKYRIZI, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about SKYRIZI, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.